Welcome, y'all, to Critical Clicks! Euro Clicks! Hear my greatness!
That there's nothing I can do to save you.
Euro Clicks!
Give it up for y'all's host,
Lucas Van Holland.
And Scott Cram Company Crampton!
Hey guys, it's Lucas Van Holland, and here's my partner.
Hey, I'm Scott Cram Company Crampton. Welcome to Critical Clicks, an adult podcast for the competitive HeroClix player, where we put the hard R rating in HeroClix. And we're fucking back. This is episode 52, and Worlds is next week. The goal was to put out 52 episodes, and then we also do have Kevin fucking Afruz here. Who now doesn't talk.
Little known fact, Kevin finally climbed out of his hole and then promptly pushed Scott straight in, and that's why we haven't had any actual episodes for a while.
I actually really like that. So what we're going to do on this episode, we're going to talk about 300 Modern, which we actually have not talked about in a while on an episode. And then we're going to first, though, go over Worlds a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about pros and cons. What I don't want to do is we're not going to super yuck the yum on Worlds. I know that it's not everything we want it to be. Kevin is actually not going. One, because he thinks the prizing is not amazing, which he is correct.
It sucks.
Yep. And then two, he's also sometime around 2019, he became an AI. So he actually is just an AI talking to us right now.
And Kevin does not have
my robot body isn't
anymore.
Ready yet. Yep.
So he's been avoiding personal interactions now for quite a while because, again, he died sometime like 2018, I think.
I thought I was going to be in the Elon Musk Cybertruck. That was going to be my new body, but it doesn't look the same as the custom.
Where the fuck is that Cybertruck?
When you get GPS navigation, it's just Kevin talking to you. You missed your left turn, you fucking idiot.
All right. So, I'm excited for Worlds. Yes. Lucas, I think you said it best. What's the prizing for Worlds?
You ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, it's a bit of that. But on the other hand, you have the opportunity to become world champion in a game that you play and you love, and you get to go to a place that's just about HeroClix. It's pretty much one of the only opportunities to do that of the year is about 4 a year. They're only about HeroClix. This is one of them. And what the fuck else are you doing?
That's my counter.
HeroClix Worlds. What the fuck else are you doing? I mean,
yeah, nothing better to do.
You got anything better to do? Fucking go. What the fuck? I think I might.
What if you get there and just stay in the Elvis rooms? Don't even go Worlds.
That's what I'd have to do if I was like an AI, like ChatGPT Kevin. ChatGPT Kevin. So let's talk about it. So Thursday is basically split between two events. There's the X of Swords storyline event, which last year I was not able to get into, despite the fact I waited in line for an hour and a half. I got there an hour early, and it wasn't even close to early enough. So now I'm probably going to try to get there at 1 to be able to do the 3:30 world pulp. What, noon? What do you think?
Last year, we fucking stood in line for like 4 hours before they finally opened the doors.
Yeah, what was it actually? Yeah, what was it actually? Like the actual amount of time?
It was at least 2 hours. That is not an over-exaggeration.
Yeah, it was at least
2 hours.
Yeah, I know that I got there an hour early and I got there 30 minutes late from what I needed to get there for. So this is some Disney Lorcana shit. If Disney Lorcana somehow didn't have a lot of demand yet had the same line. you got Exosword Story, and then you have the real world championship, in my opinion. The reason I am going to Worlds, the Pulp World Championship. Would I rather win the Pulp World Championship or the World Championship? I would much rather play in the Pulp World Championship and somehow win the prizing for the World Championships. But I'm a huge Pulp stan. I think Pulp is my favorite format. It's not even really close other than Team Sealed, which I also fucking love. Mm-hmm. So One of the biggest reasons to go is just Team Sealed is one of the rarest formats.
Oh, yeah.
You get to do it at Newmark's event. You get to do it here. They didn't have it at Nationals.
Yeah, WizKids doesn't do it at Nats anymore. And for The Rock, it's not sealed anymore. It's constructed. So,
yeah, fuck. It really should. They really should bring back Team Sealed for The Rock, though. That's too good not to do.
I don't know. I like the Extreme Highlander. I think they should do Team Sealed on Friday, where they normally do single sealed.
Yes.
And then still do Extreme Highlander on Saturday and then just regular singles on Sunday. That would be epic.
That would be great. I couldn't agree more. And as the current Team Highlander Championship, I wish they'd end it and make it sealed. Anyway. So, yeah, we have the Pulp World Championship. And they are going Battle Royales pretty late. 8:30 is the final one. So they make it go till 10. I mean, that's pretty solid.
10's not bad. And yeah, like, 10, I'm pretty sure they have fairly loose control of the hall, right? I'm sure like if it went to like 10:30, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it's not a nightmare zone. It's never back in the day Howard's old events. Kevin, remember the Howard old event where we'd be playing Battle Royales and new tournament? It would be like, I think there was a tournament that I did that started at 1 a.m.
It was 2 a.m. Yeah, you and I both played in that, Scott. We played round one.
2 a.m. Yeah, that was.
Yep. With singles starting the next day.
Yes, with singles starting the next day. It tested my ability to how much I love this game, and yet I do love it that much. So I think, what are we telling people? Noon? Is noon when you want to get there? Noon on Thursday?
I optimistically want to say there's no way it could be as possibly as bad as last year, but we all know that's not true. So yeah,
I think
probably
it's
fine.
I would think that there's a 30% chance to say it's worse somehow. I think there's a 30% chance to say it's better. And I think the more likely money is it's the same.
Yeah, you're like, probably right.
I know the problem last time is they wanted to use the card reader, but there was only one card reader. And yet you can type it in.
And it takes 10 seconds if you are halfway decent with a computer.
But anyway, that was the biggest problem for some reason. And then they had everybody sign up for everything all at once, which was kind of positive. But
there's other payment methods too. They could do Zelle, PayPal. I don't understand why it's.
Yeah, why it has to be that particular thing. Yeah. All right. So. Now, once you get there, now you're at, okay, we're getting up early now. So you don't need to get there early on Fridays. You know, you want to get there at 8:30. That's fine. They're not going to cut you out of Team Worlds or anything like that. Really, it was just the first day that you got fucked in the ass. So Friday, 8:30, you got Team World Championships, 9 a.m. And then 2 p.m. it begins elimination. If you're not in that, you can play in either Pulp 8-man events, Pulp theme events, Battle Royales, which are likely the correct answer, really the correct answer if they have the new set.
If Notorious is there, that BRs are like gold. It's a gold mine.
Yes. But if they're not, it's still a good set. Like those chases are still good. But I'd make an argument that this Avenger 60th, which I feel like we've been playing with forever.
It's been 4 months.
Yes. We've been playing with that for just ever, which is really weird because I know they're bringing out two more sets this year that we won't play with because there's nothing going on in the winter.
I mean, thankfully, at least the chases for Avenger 60 are probably the best that are going to be around this year.
Is there any indication that it's going to be Notorious or 60th?
Nope. They have not given any information at all.
Yeah.
It's highly likely it's going to be 60th.
You think so? I have an argument to say that I know that they are doing pre-releases on the 13th. Yep. So like basically at the same time. So it seems like
the pre-release is Friday.
Well, yeah.
It's tomorrow, the 8th. So nice. Yeah. Like,
really? So you actually got the product already?
Yes, I know Jalen Major's store, I think Jay's store has it, and then there's another store around Ohio that has it as well.
Yeah, they don't give it to AIs though, Kevin. It's only people.
Well, no, it's interesting because it comes in Long Beach, and like we had a store here that was supposed to set they had it set up for Friday, but they didn't get their shipment. So it's weird that it comes in from Long Beach and you guys got it first.
I don't know. That is a good point. Hashtag WizKids is bad. However, so are other places. What's the distribution people? I can never remember. Wizards or
Alliance.
Something? Alliance. Yeah.
No, Alliance. Yeah.
So if you don't get in the team worlds, you're basically just playing battle royales, which isn't bad. Isn't bad. Now, Saturday, you have the world championship begins on Saturday, 9 a.m. Get there at 8:30. If you want to play in the onslaught, how many onslaught players do you guys think they will have? What's the over under?
I think Kevin's AI is freaking out, but I think there'll be more onslaught than Dice Masters or Attack Wing. That's for sure. Cause people really seem receptive to this game.
Okay. I think the game's cool. How many were at Nationals though? I heard it was like nothing. Was I wrong?
I didn't actually look, but like all of the events were nothing at Nationals because the attendance caps were so.
Well, they were in a different place too. Like
testing and stuff was, yeah.
Yeah. So see anybody playing Onslaught ever. They were in like a different room somewhere, but I heard it was very, very low turnout, like four or something.
Probably because they didn't do a very good job of advertising it.
So yeah. Anyway,
shout out to the guy who's doing the HeroClix Facebook, because that guy's doing an amazing job.
Yes, he is. Yeah, oh. It's almost like there's this hint where we're on the right path. That's the honest truth. I think there's a hint that we're on the right path, and I'm feeling pretty good about things moving forward. I feel like we have this one more rocky worlds to get through, and then hopefully two people at NECA drop dead, and then we'll be all set. I'm kidding. But there's so many great people right now that I know at NECA really want this to work now. And maybe because Onslaught's been... I don't know, WizKids, whatever you want to say, WizKids. WizKids is NECA, but yes. As at WizKids, there's so many great people. I really think that there is a goal that they're going to make things better. And then they're listening to us and we're getting better previews. We're getting better, just almost everything. The game's at a better state. I mean, just last year, there was only two teams. And then maybe you could run a counter to it.
Right.
Yeah, so this is significantly better. Significantly better.
I mean, there's only one team this year.
Mission Point team?
No. I think realistically, any person at all has the best chance of winning Worlds if they're playing Spider-Man.
I believe that I can beat... I think Spider-Man's one of the top figures.
Anybody can win a game any given Sunday. Spider-Man is just... Him paired with the Masters of Evil just does so much right now. Yes, it can be beaten.
It really does.
Yes, there's ways to play around it, but you remember, you're playing the field. It's, you know, one out of 120 people that you face against every round. If you want your best chance of winning any given matchup at any given time, Spider-Man is the way to do it.
In Nationals, you did beat Spider-Man, right? With Mission Point or no?
I beat one Spider-Man I beat Nate White in top four.
That's not a nothing player. That's a real.
No, I'm absolutely real. Not. Nate is a very good player. But like I said, I also immediately lost to Spider-Man in the finals when I lost map.
I think Spider-Man's very, very good. Do not get me wrong. Spider-Man is not just good. He's fucking great.
He's good enough to make Isaac switch his teams between qualifying and
I was literally there. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. All right. So let's keep talking. So you got the World Championship, 9 a.m. And then if you don't make it in the World Championship, I think you bring a theme and you try to win the theme World Championship, which is at 3 p.m. So if you get knocked out, you didn't bring enough Spider-Man Prime, then you do the World Championship. Now for the theme Silver Age World Championship, remind me, you can't you can't keyword cheat. Is that the deal? I cannot remember the rules.
The keyword has to be printed on their card.
Printed on the card. Okay.
And it's Highlander.
Yes. Yep. Highlander.
Which is one of the reasons why I'm not playing theme team, because I can't play with Tri-Sentinels.
I mean, you just do monster theme team is pretty epic.
What if Lucas, you didn't bring a tri-sentinel, but then, you know, just zip plop and then you see what people say.
Like, still not enough of them.
Try to retaliate.
I need three more, Scott.
So I'm going to retaliate. see if anybody notices. I didn't see this on your team build. Hey, wait a minute. Is that your dick? You, Lucas. Oh, and then Top Cut of Worlds actually goes to 9 a.m. on Sunday. And then if you're not in that, you're pretty much going to be playing essentially Exosword storyline or Battle Royales.
I doubt anyone will get in for Sunday's Exosword, so just Battle Royales.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, I think there will be a lot of demand because the Genesis
32 seats, but only five.
In my opinion, if you don't get in on Sunday, party all night Saturday with the people that did, then just show up for Battle Royals comfortably on Sunday and watch the finals.
Yeah, or party so hard with them that you hopefully it drops down to, you know, was top 32. Right.
They don't but make it.
They don't make in. It, exactly. And you get in at top 34. Boom, boom. That is Worlds. It's pretty epic. There's really no reason you can't leave Sunday, in my opinion, like Sunday night. I don't think you need to stay over in Memphis that night unless you really want to or you want to visit Elvis's house, which is fun to do once. So it's a good time. Definitely go get barbecue, go to Beale Street. Some of the best food in the world, some of the best music in the world is in Memphis. Memphis is a no fuck around place. It's like Nashville. If you replace country music with good music and you replace like mediocre food with amazing barbecue.
You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it there first. AI Kevin is upset.
He's broken.
We broke the AI of Kevin. Hold on one sec. All right, cool.
By the way, the whole time we've been talking, I've been driving targets and I've already gotten 400 boosters of Lorcana.
Shut up. You have not. You fucking liar. I went in to try to get some Lorcana at 10 a.m. Send me a pic, AI Kevin. And if not, I will buy some off you if you can get any, because I have not seen any anywhere. I went.
I've gotten single boosters. So if you want some, I got some for you. MSRP.
Yes, Kevin. Yeah, please buy me as much as possible. I'm so glad everyone can listen to Lorcana stuff. And let's get into the meta.
He picked 8 winning cocks. It's never been done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
So, number one piece in the meta, in my opinion, is actually a equipment. It is all black Necro Sword.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So, here's a weird thing. Does all black Necro Sword mean that you should stop playing Carnage Surfer?
No. I think Carnage Surfer still does it when it's multiples of Carnage on a team. When you have two or more Carnage Surfers, so they kill one and then the other one just destroys them. It doesn't matter. It's rare for the only reason why all black. So it makes characters like Sky Tyrant amazing. It makes characters like World's Finest, who has super strength to do the knockback and the extra one damage from the knockback, amazing. Yep. But really the character that loves this the most is the Spider-Man. And Spider-Man plus 8 is the only character I think that can knock out both Carnage Surfers in a single attack.
I agree.
World's Finest can't. Sky Tyrant can't.
World's Finest can if the stars align and the characters are next to each other and one of them had made an attack since your last turn and didn't kill something.
Yeah.
That's right, the only
exactly.
Way. All right.
But you'd hope, I mean, the player is good enough to not do that.
I'm going to make an argument right now. My argument is this. Caleb's team is the best team. I will read it now. Team? Demon in Armor, Sakari and Iron Man, Iron Inquisitor, so swap, obviously. Watcher at 40, Chip, Flash, 20-point Green Lantern. And then as far as objects, somehow none. Is that right? No, it's not. That's not right.
No, right. It has to have objects because Demon Armor has to. I mean, he's probably got the shield on him.
I would have thought so too.
Shield to give it a plus one defense.
No, it doesn't have any room for any equipment. You're just what people get for free is what you get. Huh. So I guess it must have a. It must have the Green Lantern ring on Green Lantern.
Well, yeah, because he gets that for free,
and it's doubling. He's doubling up for free on Green. And that's what he's
I think that seems versatile, but I think it also does lose to Lucas's mission point team. So,
yes, it does.
So, Lucas, what's your mission point team?
So, the mission, the version of the team that I played at Nationals was Darkseid from BTU with the Darkhold, Indigo One with her ring, Riddler, the Legacy Riddler, Watcher with the Shock Gauntlets. And then Frogman with Sinestro Corps ring, and then Prime Batman with Utility Belt and Green Lantern ring. So the way this team works, because I don't think we've actually recorded a podcast since Nationals happened. The way this team functions is it has three different ways to generate mission points. There's the tested and knockback. True version. Yep, there's knockback from Darkseid, there's perplex from Riddler, and then there's the support from Indigo One. And if you look,
well, and when Frogman knocks back, you also get the mission points from.
Yeah, so I'll get to that. But basically, if you look, there are upwards of five perplexes. If Batman takes a damage, there are three characters on force that can knock back characters to get extra mission points. There are three different lantern rings to generate cowboy boots to knock back additional characters. And then you have Indigo One doing her support roles with Peacemaker on the sideline. So the way the team functions is I go to more lock tunnels if I win map. I barrier myself up with machines, the L-shaped blockings, and barrier from stop signs. And if you decide you're not going to rush me, then I'll just Indigo One heal all game and win that way. If you do rush me, as soon as you get into range, I start perplexing you and knocking you back. I was very, very, very consistently winning by turn four, but more like there were several games where I won by turn three. And the way my tarot deck was set up is I was using the Queen of Pentacles, which says that you can only move in direct paths, which on the Morlock tunnels, that is just a cancer card you have to deal with. And then I was also using Queen of Cups, which says the characters take a max of 2 damage from attacks. So everybody on my team except for Batman is at least 5 clicks deep. So Queen of Cups comes up and every character takes minimum 3 attacks to kill. Yep. And so you just couldn't kill anything. And then the other tarots I was using, you know, obviously Judgment for the additional mission points. Support is free. And then I had one burner card, which is just the Smoke Cloud card, because there was nothing better in the sword slot.
Nothing but 8 of Swords. Yeah, Smoke Cloud markers. Okay.
You didn't want to, like, the idea was you don't want any cards that are going to hurt you.
Okay.
There are other variations to the team with, say, for example, like Red X, because Red X just gets you free mission points every turn, as well as when you're closer to
their starting area, man. Holy shit.
It's really easy to do, especially when you play Absorbing Man. Absorbing Man just goes next to it. He comes in and he's next to it, and then you just get points because no one wants to fight
a. But that you can't get Absorbing Man anything less than 2 turns.
You can do it in one, but it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, well, you can do it in one, but that's what your team does. Like, that's your shitty team. And you can't do Red X and get that and do that. And I think that your idea, and you might be able to build it slightly better, maybe, but I think it's very, very good. So if I was playing you hypothetically, Lucas, I would outwit your ability to use support with Indigo One using Scarab. And then if I was in my starting area, you would only be able to get mission points from Riddler?
No. So versus a Scarab, and I will say this, it never came up at Nats.
It never comes up because no, is Scarab just dead?
I don't know.
Scarab's essentially zero played.
But I had a plan for Scarab. And my plan for Scarab was effectively triple perplexing range on Watcher and moving halfway up the map and using Watcher's ability for his line of fire to never be blocked to outwit outwit on Scarab.
Outwit on Scarab.
And then I still had plenty of blocking. Like, because the thing is, like, Magical Christmas Land obviously doesn't exist, but if Magical Christmas Land hit, where everything aligned, the stars aligned, everything went exactly the way it was supposed to, my team can theoretically get 17 mission points in one turn. On average, when I was engaged with my opponent, I was getting about 11.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where, like, if I'm versus a Scarab, I can move halfway up the map, deal with that, and then as soon as they start to engage me, depending on their target selection, I could still get, you know, 10, 11, 12, depending on the situation, mission points. If the rolls go halfway decently, which they don't always do, but when they do, and then as soon as you get more than 10, you guarantee Peacemaker. And when Peacemaker comes in, if you are at 18 or 19 mission points, you physically cannot lose unless your opponent slow plays you.
Correct.
Like, as soon as you hit 19, Peacemaker has to prob one time and the game's over.
So you could outwit his prob, hypothetically. But
sure.
Yeah.
But again, like...
No, I hear you. Once you get to that many mission points, there's too many things. Like,
yeah. It was one of those situations where, like, I had a few games where my opponents were wisely attacking the right mission point characters in the right order, because funny enough, Riddler is the first one that needs to die.
Riddler, I'm very confused by Riddler. So Riddler can basically target anybody in the world with a perplex, right? There's no,
it's regardless of line of fire. You still need range.
Okay. So within five, so any of your characters, then you roll a die. When opposing character within range with a puzzle token will be targeted by perplex. So,
yeah. So here's how it works.
So first time you use perplex, they get a puzzle token, right?
Correct.
So you can't get anything first turn, correct?
Yeah, you absolutely can first turn. You give the puzzle token with Riddler, and then you do other perplexes with other characters. Because remember, Darkseid has perplex, Watcher has perplex, Frogman has perplex. If Batman takes a damage, he has perplex. Like, absolutely, you can get multiple mission points off of that. And then the thing is if that character with the puzzle token still has a puzzle token on the next turn, Riddler perplexes them again. They get a second puzzle token, and then every perplex does two mission points, and that snowballs out of control real fucking quick.
Sure.
Like, that is one of those things. Like, there were a couple games where Riddler was allowed to live, like Nate versus Nate, for example. He couldn't get to me and get my Riddler off, so I got a second puzzle token. And by turn two, I was at 8. Like, it was, yeah, turn two, I was at 18. Okay.
All right, we've talked about this in length. I'm going to move on, but I will ask you, finish this question. Is this a team you're looking to play at Worlds?
I will not be.
Okay.
And the main reason for that is because if you lose map versus somebody who knows what they're doing, it's very, very hard to win.
Yes.
And I just don't want to take that chance.
Generally, what's bad against mission points is you pick map, not pick, and your team's not themed, right?
Correct.
Okay. So generally, if you're playing against a mission point team, you want to pick map, not go first. Is that the deal?
Yeah, you want to pick map, go to a 2x2 like Wakanda and rush the ever living hell out of them.
Gotcha. Yeah, because they just don't have enough. Although I will say your team, more than most teams like that, have a little bit more firepower, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. No, I scored, like, on games that I lost, I scored a lot of points because, like, Frogman can do a ridiculous amount of damage really quickly without people realizing it with all of his knockback. Mm-hmm. Darkseid is not a bad attacker. And there is something to be said for just fucking Watcher just being like, oh, well, I'm an 8 attack, but I'm a 3 damage. Let's just see if I can kill these support pieces. And that happened more often than not.
Yep.
Not only that, he has 10 square reach for the prob. So
one of the,
go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wrong Watcher.
Oh.
This is a 40-point Watcher that switches dials and such.
Yep.
All right. So for real, one of the things, just to kind of really say it out loud, figure it out, whatever you want to say. We're going to talk a lot about, because of how me and Lucas play, there's more of a chance for Scarab. But in reality, Scarab and mission point teams are very rare. What's not rare is Spider-Man Prime. So you're going to see so many Spider-Man Primes that it's going to make your head explode. I would think 50% of the field, 70%. What do you think?
Definitely not that high.
Number two best piece in the format.
Number two best piece.
I don't think
number one is all black. the two of them.
So them combined.
I don't think that Spider-Man is going to make up 50 to 70% of the field only because I think enough people will be tired of him.
That's possible.
I think that like he started to make enough of an impact on the game and has, well, he has since the Rock Cup, right? Because like Isaac Dinky got top four at the Rock Cup with him. And then, you know, Mater wins Nats with him. And then like he's starting to snowball. Yes, this is the best he will ever be because of the Necro Sword. So I'm sure there will be a lot. I think 50% is still a bit of a stretch because there are some ways to just make it so that he can't do a whole lot. Like, for example, Scarlet Witch ruining herself, like ruining yourself.
Yeah. I will say this. I have outwitted Spider. I played against some people at the Forge and I've outwitted Spider-Man with Scarab in my own starting area on negative zone. I have outwit Spider-Man Prime's movement power, right? So he doesn't have charge, doesn't have flurry, the whole or sidestep, right? He's very pro. That outwit's a big one because it gives him a lot of mobility. I've managed to outwit it, then ruin in the negative zone. And I lost to Spider-Man Prime getting around that somehow. It's really shocking how it works, but like all they did was suicide over Faust into my starting area and outwit my outwit. And then even though I have this whole defensive shell and I have this and that, they're still able to do a lot. And it's not very hard for him to kill Scarlet Witch.
It's true.
Because, you know, like it's just not, it's not incredibly unhard, but it's just not that hard. So I'm saying,
well,
that,
I mean, he's one of few characters. He has three attacks and they're all flurries.
He doesn't get three flurry attacks. He gets three. Lucas, why don't you explain to everybody how this works?
Yeah, so if Spider-Man is going the hypermobile route with the alpha, which he's typically going to do, he's going to get TK'd, do some combination of wall crawler plus sidestep. Wall crawler is where when he goes to a different square of elevation within four in line of fire, and then sidestep, and then he gets to charge. Well, he has a 10 speed, so any perplexes are going to increase that. And he has flurry, so he's going to charge flurry. Well, then typically what you do is turn one, you give him an action token. So that turn two, when you alpha, you go to two tokens. You might think, well, why the hell would you want to do that? And that's because of his trait that's called subconscious crime fighting, where when he has two action tokens, you can give him a free action to take any action that he normally could take as free. And then after resolutions, you deal him an unavoidable damage because he's already charged flurried. In that instance, he can't once again use flurry as free. So he gets to just make an attack. But yes, he gets to attack three times in a turn.
There is no clever way he can attack four.
There is. Double TK sidestep wall crawler is a 14 square swing.
And then he flurries. And
then he costed flurries and then subconscious crime fighting three flurries.
Gotcha. Yes.
So he can pull off four attacks. Okay. It's just not as easy.
Yeah. Which is, again, just devastating. Give you a scope of that. When he pulls off even three, usually two of them will kill Iron Inquisitor, and then the next one will kill the other guy. It's really fucked up.
Yeah, because really every attack is dealing four damage plus knockback into the wall for an additional fifth.
Yes, yes. So you have to be so careful of how you put your stuff together. I actually, believe in this very often. A lot of times your best bet, in my opinion, is if you are figuring out and you're like, okay, well, I need to decide between do I use King Killmonger as protection or Iron Inquisitor? I actually think the answer is probably King Killmonger.
Agreed.
Because he can't do much about that. But that Iron Inquisitor goes down shockingly fast to him.
Except he can. Because the popular thing to do right now is pick up elevated terrain and place it underneath Killmonger so he can still crucify everything around you.
Yes.
Yep. And when he's running in, he drops it.
Yes. And I do get that. There's ways, you know, like anything, there's ways to get around that. You know, like how does he get through barrier? How does he get through this? How, you know, there's a lot of different things. But the thing is, he's 95 points essentially, right? Because you're never playing without the Black Necro Sword almost ever. So what I do for Spider-Man is this. I try really hard to outwit his charge flurry sidestep and make sure he can't get it back. If he doesn't have flurry, he is just not as deadly, but he is bad. But a lot of times you can work on two attacks, not three.
So with Scarab, like because you were talking about playing Scarab, I think the best play with Scarab in that situation is if you have access to the time platform, because usually like Spider-Man's getting paired with like a 50 point character. Obviously, a lot of the times it's Sackman because it's just arguably insanely 50
amazing,
points. Correct. So if you have a time platform, you can time platform Sackman back home and then outwit super strength on Spider-Man. And if he doesn't have, if you have barrier access where you can at least double barrier, like in like say you're on Morlock tunnels or something, he just can't get to you.
I do like that. You know, my particular team, again, I'm a Scarab player, and my goal is always to get you to come to me. You know, Spider-Man basically says, I don't care.
Spider-Man's happy to come to you.
Happy to come to me. without Albrock Necrosword, which by the way, if you're doing Spider-Man on Spider-Man Violence, most of the time you kind of want to have in power because it doesn't work very well as much as you think. Like he's still hard to get through. One impervious really can wreck your day. Just putting it out there. Spider-Man has four clicks that are incredibly good. You can't outwit his super senses or impervious. His super senses most of the time might as well be to everything and just invincible.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah. It's way too much. Way the fuck too much. And I'm worried that we're going to go down that direction more, but Spider-Man only has counters of Spider-Man, Luck, Scarlet Witch,
Tyrant with a Necrosword and like a
Necrosword. Yeah. Necrosword.
Yeah. Well, like specifically characters with exploit. So like Tyrant is the best example of that right now. Because if you play Tyrant with a Necrosword and Saint Walker, you're swinging 12 for four without any perplexes on him. And you just two hits, he's dead.
I do think Jalen's team of a Sky Tyrant attacking like three times is still very, very good.
Agreed.
Being able to just swing him out there and just attack and then Dark Phoenix attack and then Dark Phoenix attack. And then I think you can Dark Phoenix attack again. I can't remember. I think he has three Dark Phoenixes.
He was playing two.
Okay. Yep. But yeah, you can wipe out a lot with a Necrosword guy. But the problem is, you know, he's really easy to kill by now to stand.
Not only that, you're kind of running across the map and not having prob on you.
Yeah, you don't have much, but I will.
That's where Iron Inquisitor would give you prob.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Perplex beforehand.
Yep. So you won the Cheesehead Championship with Apocalypse Lives, and then Ryan Redman played you with Spider-Man Prime, Sicarian, Black Skull, Mephisto, Madam Web, Star Sapphire, and Skinny Steve Rogers. I hate Skinny Steve Rogers on that team. But other than that, it's a very
Madam. So like all those issues that I was just talking about with Spider-Man. Like if you outwit a super strength and barrier him,
yep.
Madam Web just says that's not a problem.
And why is that? Just say it out loud.
Because Madam Web has a trait where you choose a friendly character with the Spider-Man family keyword within four and line of fire, and that character gets improved movement, blocking, and characters.
Yep.
And Spidey already has leap climb, which means that he has improved movement. Fuck you.
Yeah, the map is essentially blank. And then she can reroll him twice.
Yep, and she has rally dice on a six to auto succeed his senses to add insult to injury.
Yes.
And Redman was also playing the Emperor with him, which gave him colossal. And that was like Jesus Christ. Because now he has giant reach three and can see over everything. So he can still hit the weak stuff in the back, even if you're perfectly blocked off. And that's what he did to me. And the only reason why I I won that game is because I bamboozled him by copying the time platform with Scarab so he couldn't kill Scarab.
Okay. All right. Your team was Apocalypse at 100, which we should definitely talk about. Scarab, Mad Jim, Genesis, Apocalypse, Mephisto. Now, Apocalypse should be a decent counter for Spider-Man. And I want to stress decent. not a great counter, but a decent one. Apocalypse says essentially, I'm sure most people know this, but I also want to say it out loud. When a friendly character with the X-Men keyword would be hit with a close attack, if they can use Blaze Claw's Fangs, they may roll a D6. If they do and the result is greater than the attacker's printed damage value, they evade the attack. That is not super senses or anything like that. It's just
that is correct.
And, that power does stack, and I think that not enough people are considering it against Spider-Man. And it's
consistent,
but it's not consistent. It's a 5/6. I will say this, if there is ever a reason to try to ping Spider-Man for one, but that being said, if they have Mephisto, there's never a reason to ping anybody for one. Just putting that out there. His team is tough. It's hard to figure out what targets you want to kill. You know, Star Sapphire can go down pretty fast if you feel like they even need that. Okay. So talk about your team. Talk about why Apocalypse now.
I mean, Apocalypse has always been good. It's just people freaked out and stopped playing him as soon as they made his pogs cost 5 points.
Yeah, but we're in a different meta now. So, and this sometimes happens. You're in a different meta and everything's like, oh shit.
Yeah, but that's the thing is like, as long as Apoc and Genesis have been legal, which was immediately after Worlds last year, Apoc, the big Apoc, has been just fine the whole time. So
not good on point denial, but we're not in the Thanos meta anymore. Like we're in the correct. Spider-Man meta, which has a ton. Now, are you likely to play this team for Worlds?
I'm considering it. Okay. It did beat Spider-Man, right? And it's pretty difficult to deal with. It has some issues that I'm not sure if I can iron out. It's a control team, which normally I don't play. I usually play aggressive. It's proven to be difficult to deal with, and so I think I'm considering it.
All right, let's play some quick games here. We'll play over and unders real quick. So first one's just for fun. Over or under 10 people playing D&D Onslaught for the World Championships?
Over.
Kevin?
Over.
All right, over or under 20 people playing D&D Onslaught?
I'll still say over.
Over.
All right, I will say under at 10, just for reference. I expect 8 people. I expect less than 8 people. That's my personal opinion. I think there'll be less than 8 people playing. Over or under 30 people playing D&D Onslaught.
Yeah, I'll say under. Over. I'll say under still.
Over. Kevin, what's your number?
55.
I think that would be everybody in the world showing up that plays it. But I could be wrong.
There are at least 20 HeroClix players that will do it just to get pricing to sell off on eBay afterwards.
They can't do both. They have to bail on Worlds. So,
I mean, if they do bad in Worlds, they would go for it.
Yeah. All right. Now,
they could do both.
Over or under on Worlds. Over HeroClix people playing Worlds. Over or under 100 people?
Over.
Kevin?
Under.
Under. Okay, you have a very negative view of Worlds. Okay, and a very high view of Onslaught. I'm going to say over or under 120 people playing in the Worlds.
Here's the reason why. It's because the prizing. If the prizing was decent the whole way through, I'd expect everyone to be playing, right? But because the prizing sucks and it's top heavy for first place, then the people that are showing they're probably going to get in the middle, and they know they're generally like top 30.
I think they lost.
Just go over to Onslaught and be like, well, we'll just make money.
I think that they're fucked up. Legitimately lost 30% of their people. That's my opinion. I think that there could have been 200 people.
The players are going to show. I mean, I would love to show just to hang out with everyone, but I'm not going to show play because there's just no point.
Yeah.
Again, I don't play for prizing. If I want to go make money somewhere, I'm going to go make money somewhere. I'm not going to fucking play Hero.
I'm spending essentially around $2,000 if I were to show.
Yeah.
For the whole trip, right?
Yeah, there's only one prize worth that.
I got it. Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying that I need to make my money back. I'm just saying to feel good, you want something. And the problem is there's no incentive other than first place. Because the other prizing is shit that's a year old. You can honestly get it from LGSs are throwing in the dumpster at this point because they can't sell it. So
yeah.
I'm unfortunately afraid that Kevin is not 100% correct here, but he's going to be correct as far as like the attendance and what you said, Scott, as well. It's like attendance is going to be down. I think we had 120 players last year in singles, and I would like it to break 100, but you might be right. I think it won't. And
okay, so you're going under 100. I will go over 100. I will go 110.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem that's clouding all of this is WizKids is going to take this as an opportunity and go, oh, see, people don't want to play 300 modern competitive anymore.
And I agree with Lucas. I hate that that's going to be their decision. Which is why when they
because that's their goal, right? Their goal is just the hope is that they kill the game, right? Like
they said it wasn't at Gen Con, but God, their actions speaking louder than their words, that's for sure.
So yeah, here's the thing. I don't think that is their goal because number one, they do listen to the community. When we yelled about it, they changed.
Lately, yes. I think the problem is we're acting like they're one organized entity, and we're both right. If we say that their WizKids wants this to work with all their heart and they care deeply about the community, that's correct. If we say WizKids is apathetic and doesn't give a fuck, that's also correct. Because WizKids is 8-10 different people, and a couple of them could give a fuck and would probably rather see you die than take a moment to pee on your face. But they'd rather see you burned alive. Unfortunately,
some of those people are in power.
And those people are the highest people in power. And then the other people love this game and they're great. And so on one hand, yes, I do feel like it's on the right path. But on their hand, yeah, I think it's fucked. I think that there needs to be one or two people that leave and step down. But I do want to say this real quick and I'll let everybody else talk. There is something I was recently, I was in this business workshop and they really hammered this point home, and it's very hard for some people to understand it. But as I've grown older, I understand it more. Many people want to work at a hotel with absolutely zero customers at it. They don't want anybody showing up. And sometimes those people are owners, and almost everybody that's a waitress or a waiter needs money. But then they're all very excited, or many of them are very excited to not have customers and leave early. So the big thing is, yes, if it feels insane to think that WizKids doesn't really want to do these big events, some people, WizKids, don't want to have anybody because they don't care if the thing's successful or not. They just don't want to be hassled. And when you don't want to be hassled, you can't argue anything. And hey, why do the rooms suck? Because I prefer you not to stay in them, but I thought you're running a business. No, I'm not running a business. I work for somebody running a business. I don't care. And they don't care enough to tell me to go fuck myself. So I'm just going to run things how I run things, do things how I do things, because nobody's really fucking stopping me. And why do I want more customers? That's just more work for me. If Worlds dies, it is less work. Nobody can argue that. If everybody stops playing with HeroClix competitively, it's less work. If people stop buying WizKids, buying HeroClix, it's less work. Hard to argue that.
Extraordinary amount of sense to me.
Yes. And there's some people there that really fucking don't give a shit. Why would you? I don't give a shit. If you worked at Walmart, would you give a fuck if Walmart has more customers at midnight or less? No. Some people don't give a fuck.
Either way.
Yeah. Other people really care. All right, Kevin, you were saying something.
Well, so I guess we're the opinion on matter, because you're right. The business model is we don't want to run this. We haven't wanted to do it for a long time.
Some people are great. Galley, Scott D'Agostino, right, these people are amazing. There's multiple people there that are great.
I think where it keeps going that it keeps getting nudged, like, shit, we actually have to keep doing this.
Kevin's AI is breaking. Hold on.
Oh, no. His AI is breaking. Kevin, your AI broke.
Am I listening to you guys?
Yeah, try again.
Let me try this. Did this fix it?
Yes, it did sound better. Sound
infinitely better.
Infinitely.
All right. So the fan appreciation night is really where it changes everything. After night one, you go there and you're like, listen, I love this. You just screwed up little things, but I'd be back next year if you fix these. And they're just like, well, is it worth it? And then when everyone's like, yes, they're like, well, shit, I guess we got to do it again. So I would say show up to fan appreciation. I mean, I'm not going to be there, but show up to it and be like, yo, I love Worlds. I love that you guys listened to us the first time around, but like, come on, more prizing, more this, more that. And I promise I will bring my friends. I'll bring my fucking wife. Like, we'll make a trip out of it if it's worth it. It's just not worth it right now.
So it's funny that you say that, like with a fan appreciation event and them listening. So I went to the fan appreciation event at Gen Con. Scott, I don't know if you were there.
Sorry, that was my impression of last time I went to fan appreciation night.
Yeah. Either way, I was there. And so Jake was there, and Jake is Jimmy's boss. Okay. So he's like at the top of the totem pole, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy who was running the fan appreciation event. And he had made comments about how they want, you know, because people had asked some of the hard questions. Like,
was Jake at Nationals? Did I see Jake?
Yes, he has. He's a blonde-haired middle-aged guy.
Okay. Wait, yep. He was just sitting at a booth the whole time or something? Where was
he? No, he was not just sitting at a booth. He wasn't. He did not show up very, very often.
Gotcha. Well, that shows real commitment to be at the place, but not be around the players.
I don't disagree with you. But at the end of the day,
he could have been doing other things.
Yeah, he's in charge of more than just HeroClix. I want to point that out.
Okay, that's fair to know.
But the... You know, he had said during the fan appreciation event, like, hey, you know, people had asked hard questions like, are you guys trying to kill the game? You know, like, what's the
deal? Wow.
Like, yeah, people were pretty blunt about it. And he's like, no, we want the game to succeed. HeroClix has been selling better than it ever has, which to me solidified the idea of, OK, WizKids does not necessarily care about competitive play. They care about the game. They care about the play, but they only care about
selling the game,
selling it, of course, to brick and mortar stores and that sort of thing. They don't give a shit about the competitive side. But the other thing was, is like Kevin's point about people listening and WizKids wanting to listen to the community when they basically force them to. It's no secret that we've been touting HCUnits.com for a while, right? It's everywhere right now. Clay's been just absolutely slaying that game, building the best HeroClix website ever made. I mean, it's
fantastic. It's no comparison. It actually makes everything work.
Yeah, there's no comparison between HC Units and any other HeroClix website. They're just
correct.
So I had made the comment. I was like, okay, you guys are talking about, because Jake had made a comment about being a very data driven guy, mm-hmm. With like things like pulp and with theme teams and like seeing teams and how often people are playing the format and all that stuff. And I said, okay, you say you're a data driven guy. That's cool. What are your thoughts on HC Units? And his response was, well, what's that? And I went, oh boy.
That is insane.
You claim to be a data-driven dude and you care about the game, but you aren't looking at the website that literally has all the data you could ever want on it about these formats, about this game, about what people are building, what they're using, what they're playing with. It has it all. Clay has everything for you and you're just sitting there you don't even know it exists.
Yeah, and this is bullshit. I always hate this shit too, because for some reason we believe people when they say stuff like this. It makes no sense to me. But let's do a press conference real quick. You guys are angry about my soda because it's poisoning people. Just ask me some questions real quick and I'll tell you the bullshit that everybody's taught to say. All right. So we'll do as Always Sunny skit. And I'm doing Wolf Cola. Okay. Hey, Kevin, Lucas, shoot me some questions you might ask about Wolf Cola.
Why is your soda killing people?
You know, here at Wolf Cola, we care deeply about our customers. I personally make sure to look at the ingredients of Wolf Cola, and we have not found correlations between what's in Wolf Cola and it killing people. We're not sure where that's driven from, but when it comes out of our shelves, I would guarantee that it's not killing anybody.
Why is Wolf Cola so expensive?
Wolf Cola is a premium product. Rat poison is very expensive. And to be able to put the proper amount of rat poison in Wolf Cola, we demand it as a premium product. It's not expensive. It's the most cost-driven product possible with that kind of quality. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. None of it fucking matters. Or it's like the bottom line is none of it fucking matters. I can lie about fucking anything. I can promise you anything. It's all bullshit. You have to look at the actual actions. And did people die from Wolf Cola? Yes, they died from Wolf Cola. I just told you there's rat poison in it. But and I won't. I didn't even respond to any of your things. But the bottom line is the we haven't seen the CEO of HeroClix in 6 fucking years. Basically, it's been forever. Nobody's laid eyes on him since COVID. He could be a fucking AI at this point in time. He could just be a ChatGPT. We don't know. We see the same people showing up busting their ass, and we don't see the other people. So if you're in charge of something, you got to care about it or don't fucking do it. Like, those are the options. But I don't want to keep making excuses or blah, blah, blah for people. And also, I do want to say this. My goal is not to yuck your yum. I think Worlds could be great. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And honestly, it's set up to be amazing. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's not like Gen Con. But if you right now ask me if you're like, look, Scott, I can only afford to go to 2 events this year. In a year's calendar, what should I do? And I'd say, I think you absolutely spend your money going to the True World Championship, which is in Alabama every year run by Scott Porter and Howard. Go to that World Championship with World Championship prizing. And that's so much fun and goes to charity. And then if you have a little extra cash, I would go to David Newmark's event in Orlando because that's a lot of fun. And
so
then,
question on that. If the Scott Porter figures are now being released at way more units than they originally were, what's the philosophy behind reselling them? Because before it was, well, it's charity, so you shouldn't resell it for more value because it's charity.
Wow, Kev, you just really steered us off course, but okay.
That was quite a hard left turn there, Kev.
That was a 180. Like, what the fuck is that? I get it. Kevin got 2 fucking things and he's hoping he can flip one for 6 Lorcana packs.
Because it's now coming up in all the Facebook groups I'm in for HeroClix. Everyone's like, is it technically not okay to sell it for more than 25 if I get it? And I'm like,
I think you can sell, like, fine. I mean, first off, you can sell it for whatever you want, but the Facebook groups have said they're going to ban that selling of the first one, at least. But if they do release a bunch of them or whatever, I don't know. I wouldn't. I'm not going to personally do that. I bought my, I have a few extras. They're going to go to prizing and people that don't have them. I'm willing to trade them. I think trade is fair.
You want a hot take? I'll give you a hot take.
Go for it.
Anybody who says you can't resell a Scott Porter for whatever price you want to sell it for is a fucking idiot.
Well, they're a liar.
That is how,
you literally
that is how businesses work, is by reselling things. The amount of money that was raised for charity is the same regardless of how many were sold or who bought them, because that price or that cost is what is going to charity. Reselling on an open market has nothing to do with charity at all.
No, it doesn't. And it's not like it didn't sell out.
Exactly.
So, like,
the people who are salty because they weren't able to get one, get mad at WizKids for having a shit fucking system and not having enough to go around. Don't get mad at people who are willing to resell things to make money, because that's how businesses work.
Yeah, man, we've done great at this meta segment.
Yeah, it's going awesome.
All right. So I think the things you really have to prepare for is, what are you going to do about Spider-Man? What is your shell? Prepare for, prepare really hard for, and your guys have to be really durable. I do think that you almost at this point in time, most fit teams should have a Masters of Evil at this point in time. I think that you should be trying to fit on Necro Sword on your team. Unless you're playing one of the others. I'm not changing my team largely because of time commitments.
The three bases are basically, if the three bases are Spider-Man team, Mission Points team, and Master of Evil team, then you
I think Spider-Man team is Masters of Evil team. I think right now it's just aggressive, defensive Mission Points. That's kind of what you got.
Yeah, I would say the last one is probably defensive with Demon Armor, so...
Yeah, I think that if my hottest take would be that I think high defense is a little bit better, because we talked a lot about Spider-Man and all these different things, but Spider-Man loses to missing. If he comes at Demon Armor, there's nothing on this planet really that's likely to make that less than a 7 for him to roll, and he can just miss. Right. And also Carnage Surfer, very bad against missing. I think that if I had to set what team would be most likely to win, I'd probably put my money on the Canadian Nationals team. I think that's the most likely one to win at this moment, in my opinion.
I just wonder how many times he got pulse waved.
What's that?
I said, I wonder how many times he got pulse waved, because pulse wave ruins that team.
Yeah. Pulse wave hurts that team. Ruin, I think, is strong. I mean, like, if you're playing, it wouldn't do well in pulp, where like you're like, oh shit, I got seven people fucking pulse waving me. But
it does ruin it. But I mean, there's other variations of, like, say, for example, you
get a double pulse wave. But I mean, they come up, they Sicarian Iron Man pulse wave you, then they're so they come up, they Sicarian Iron Man pulse wave you, right? Let's say they actually hit, which they do, right? You lose your flash, you lose your Green Lantern. That sucks. I'm assuming that you're not dumb enough to have lost your Watcher. Iron Inquisitor is a little hurt. Demon Armor is a little hurt, but like, and then you can flurry their Sicarian with your Sicarian, follow up with the chip chainsaw. And I think you probably are back in the driver's seat. Could be wrong.
Sackman pulse waving is the only attack you're making that turn. You're doing it wrong.
That's fair. Ideal here is you're pulse waving with Force Blast. Force Blast, Pulse Wave is bad.
Which is not hard to do, because you can just have Mad Jim swap the cloak for Shot Gauntlets or Pumpkin Bombs.
Yes.
And get that knockback from there. So
if you're playing Mad Jim and not Spider-Man, which you're not, because most people are not, but if you're playing that, it's a meta guessing. We're telling people to meta guess. If you're asking what my guess is, a lot of people play Spider-Man. The demon in a defense shell that Caleb Reddick made is very good against Spider-Man. And I think that's the goal. Like, to me, that's what I would do. I would consider not playing Watcher. And so I would
Scott, your defense team, I'm mission points. Lucas, what are you? What do you think is going to take it?
Okay, so I think you think mission points will take worlds?
I think mission points will take it.
I mean, think the sheer number of players that will probably play it, based with the fact that it's just a point and click, slam your face against the wall, Spider-Man's going to win worlds.
I think I need something else. If you're going to bet that, you got to bet Spider-Man and Spider. Give me three figures.
I mean, Spider-Man, Mephisto, and something like.
It'll be Spider-Man with Masters of Evil, which is 175 points, and then Sackman with the cloak, so that's another 55. So that's 230.
Yeah,
so the other 70 points is what's going to be the wild card there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's totally. I think that is a wildly fair take.
Like I said, the sheer number of people playing it, with the fact that we're playing a dice game, the fact that it's brain dead. One hit goes through, you win the game. In a lot of cases, there's no reason why it wouldn't win.
All right, final over or under, just to give people. Well, I'm going to do two final over and under, and then we're going to be good for the night. All right. So over and under, if there's 100 people, just for sake of argument, 100 people playing in worlds, how many mission point teams are there?
Five.
Under five. Kevin?
10.
Okay. I say under. Lucas?
I say under as well.
Okay. Hey, Kevin, over really? Under 10? No, so you're saying just 10 period? Okay.
I'm saying just 10 period.
Okay. So yes, I say,
Kevin, really?
I say three. That would be my gut.
I would say like four or five.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Next one. The character that everybody plans for and nobody fucking plays. 100 players, over or under Scarab at five.
Over.
Kevin?
I think that's it.
I would probably say a little over. Over or under 10. I'll say under.
I think 10 is right on the money.
Okay. I think it's going to be less than 10% of the field of Scarab. But I think it's going to be, you know, between 5% and 7 or 8%. So I think there's a lot of playing for a figure that doesn't inherently matter, because
if they planned it outright and have, there's two maps that are amazing for Scarab. So if they planned outright and have those two maps and they'll play it and they know what they're doing, it's going to be very difficult to beat Scarab. If they don't, then they shouldn't even try.
Can I just point out that this team just won? In Majestics, I know I said I was going to end, but what the fuck is this? The M's Bronze Age, this shit just won. Miss Marvel with emotional modifier, Miss Marvel all black necro sword, Miss Kang.
Yeah,
excuse me, what the fuck? So,
Captain Carter,
let me explain this to you. So, Larkana released, right? And Pat's also moving. So
so nobody showed up is what you're saying.
They had six players, man. I'm not saying they're bad players. They're really good players. It's just all the rest of us were busy doing other things.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Lorcana is fun. And they don't want to, and when I play it, they don't want to spit in my face. It's kind of neat. All right.
Well, you're playing with non Yu-Gi-Oh players. I'm only playing with Yu-Gi-Oh players.
Old Yu-Gi-Oh players, fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for our show. I don't know if we'll get back on one before Worlds. I know that we've let you down. I've had a business opportunity that I'm not allowed to talk about, but I will be letting everybody know when it comes about. And unfortunately,
I'm taking me off. I'm allowed to talk about.
Yep. Kevin finally is moving into a much, much, much larger refrigerator box from his former TV box that he was living in the streets of California.
Sucky, sucky, $5 will get you upgrades. That's what happens.
All right. Reasons why me and Lucas can't become president number 308. excited to do this shit. All right. That is it for a show. This is Scott, Lucas, and Kevin reminding you that if you're not playing competitively,
you might as well be playing with yourself. Good night.
Good night.
Critical Clicks, Critical Clicks, you've been listening to Critical Clicks, Critical Clicks, Critical Clicks, you should stop listening to Critical Clicks.
Because it's over, yeah, you should go home, yeah. It's a podcast, just start it.